Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3, I want to feel it, so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident host, Wendy Wilson. I'm your herbalist. I'm here bright and shiny, all ready to go. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about some nutrition that makes a whole lot of sense. And also we're going to dive into a little bit of antibiotic news and what really is going on with that medical symbol your doctor's office is displaying. Well, we're going to find out about that and some other things. We got a lot of stuff here in the Quack Report, but before we get into that, I want to remind folks that, you know, we got a holiday coming up, so absolutely, you know this. You're living for it, right? Well, be safe out there. Drive safe and have a good time, but, you know, be well. But coming up in June, which will be here soon, we're going to be talking with Dr. Carley on the 17th, and then John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group is going to be with us the following Tuesday on the 24th. And if you're interested in, you know, joining in and experiencing John's workshop on natural vision solutions, you can join the fun July 26th. It's on a Saturday, and it's right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it'll be at the Embassy Suites Hotel on South Tryon Street. And it's an all-day workshop from 10 in the morning till 6 at night. And you're going to get to explore their self-help vision care kit and work through it. And I have one, which is amazing. I am 50% improved on my nearsightedness. So I've been working with that kit about a year. Of course, I've been working at my own pace. So you could do what you want. But I totally have enjoyed the experience and am looking forward to being eyeglasses free eventually. I'm just working on it step by step. So if you're interested in going to the workshop or getting a kit, just give John a call. Now, he's in Boulder, Colorado, so That's Mountain Time. The number is 303-494-4532. 303-494-4532, or you can visit the website DR, that's for Dr. Banker, B-A-N-K-E-R, drbanker.com, and check out their workshop section. Also, coming up on the powerherbs.com website, we're going to be posting some new information. Ty Bollinger just got back from traveling all over the country, and he's put together his a series of videos called the Cancer Truth Chronicles. And yours truly is in there somewhere. He interviewed me. And so we're going to be putting up, I don't know, they sent over, what was it, a banner, link, something? Anyway, so we're going to get that up on the website over the holiday. And you'll be able to, I think, download some information from those folks over there at cancertruth.net and get informed, you know, spread the word, help people. It's all about, you know, awareness. Cancer awareness, and so we're spreading the word. So look for that soon on the powerherbs.com website. And, well, before we do the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi. We're lifting all this nation up in prayer, including our righteous men and women in uniform. And, you know, they've been in the news a lot today about, you know, the VA and so forth and what's going on there. It's just just despicable what's going on with that. So we're going to be lifting up our VA veterans, and we're going to just ask God for help, because we're a nation that needs God's help. We do. And I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face. I hope you will too. And, you know, you'll never, ever, ever regret spending time in prayer with the Lord. And mine's time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. What do we got in the Quacker? Let's see. Oh, here's is something that's encouraging. A woman who had fibromyalgia for 17 years, she got over the disease by changing her diet. Stacy Stowers, she had fibromyalgia, chronic pain. She tried to, you know, stifle the pain with coffee, sleeping pills, and alcohol. Couldn't get out of bed, couldn't get dressed, couldn't function, her teeth fell out. She was living in hell, basically, and suffered for almost 20 years like that. Then, one day, she was introduced to the raw foods, the vibrant raw foods with lots of enzymes. She says within just 10 days, she started to feel better, and she was able to get out of bed. And the reason is, you know, these raw foods have basic enzymes, which are building blocks for nutrition in the body. So the body can function normally and guess what? Heal itself, come into balance. So the natural digestive enzymes kicked in. And, you know, a lot of times when you cook your food, you cook all the nutrition out of it. So, you know, when in doubt, go raw, you know, and, it explains why a lot of raw foods help with the alkaline acid balance in the system. Your pH is important for good health. So there you go. That's empowering and encouraging. And we thank Stacy for that report. What else we have? Here's a new study in the Journal of Environmental Health. They actually, first study ever conducted by the United States government looking into the correlation between arsenic in water and IQ scores for children. These researchers decided to test those in the Augusta area of Maine because a large majority of the households there had well water, and children were exposed to arsenic through the well water. So they tested kids that were on well water against kids that were not, and tested their IQ scores. The Wechsler Intelligence Scale was used, and they said basically the study proved that if you have 5 parts per billion of arsenic in your water, the IQ of kids will drop about 6 points. But the average contaminant level that they tested in those wells had arsenic around 9.8 parts per billion. Almost one-third of the samples exceeded 10 parts per billion. So just be informed, and, you know, if you got problems, I guess filter the water. Last but not least, in the Quack Report, got to be a big round of applause and kudos to the state of Oregon, Jackson County. 100% report of they just, you know, kicked out the GMOs out of there. That's awesome. The voters voted and they elected to ban genetically engineered crops from being grown in their county. Way to go. So Jackson County, Oregon, largely agricultural area. So absolutely no GMOs going to be planted there. And this is right on top of a recent victory in Vermont. Lawmakers there, they said mandatory GMO label. Got to be on it. Honest labeling is what they're calling it. Yeah, Vermont, too. Awesome. God's working. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to be talking about nutrition makes a lot of sense, not only common sense, but sense as in cha-ching, C-E-N-T-S. All right. Well, you know, most people are actually coming around. They're coming around to the conclusion that, you know, when it comes to addressing health problems with supplements versus drugs or surgery, the organic nutrition makes more sense. And not only is it common sense to fortify the body to heal itself, but it also saves a whole lot of sense, you know, money as well. So the U.S. government, guess what? The U.S. government and modern medicine, they agree with that. They agree that with that approach. That it is healthier and safer to use nutrition to improve health, but they pretend that prescriptions and surgery is the more advanced and sophisticated way to improve your health. So, yeah, they're protecting that asset. Now, prior to World War II, a majority of American healthcare facilities sprouted from Christian religious roots. So around World War II and shortly after, the state legislators began to take over health care, and the states began to move the care from the care of the sick from the private sector to the control of the government. So the Affordable Care Act actually is really the climax of the U.S. government takeover of your health care. So this new era of healthcare will ultimately become a global standardized financial system, and it's going to be assessing human commodity. So each of us has a God-given duty to fight such a takeover and to protect our health. That's our duty. You know, the temple of the Holy Spirit, got to do that. Well, we're going to check this path real quick, and you can too in your state. You know, I want to give you an example, because in 1943, the political and business leaders of the state of North Carolina, they saw an opportunity to assist the struggling hospitals, which were started by local churches. Newspaper clippings report how powerful and influential leaders in the community were really concerned about the political influence with regards to health care. So what did they do about it? Well, they were dumb. They hired attorneys to oversee the legislation. Talk about fox in the hen house. Anyway, this allowed for the political takeover of healthcare away from the church-run facilities. So today, healthcare is not filled with compassion and the spirit of caring, but is a legal and financial network. So one of the largest hospital authorities in North Carolina is called Carolina's Healthcare System. I used to work for this hospital for about a year in 1985. Then I worked for anesthesiologist and neurologist in relation to the hospital until about 1990. So in 1982, this hospital authority updated their image, and they changed their logo, and it became a picture of the Tree of Life. And that's what they call it, the Tree of Life. Now, a state government hospital which pays no taxes projects a biblical symbol of hope and rejuvenation. So the logo was modernized to incorporate 9 branches, which the hospital says represents courage, wisdom, kindness, humility, gentleness, loyalty, prudence, generosity, and justice. Beware. Tree worship goes back thousands of years. Also, the tree is a major symbol used in Islam. So the Middle East has this divine worship for trees reaching back to Babylon. So this hospital has a state budget of nearly $8 billion annually and is among the top 3% of hospitals in the country. Not bad for a supposedly nonprofit hospital. However, this nonprofit state-run hospital lacks the gentleness, the kindness, the generosity, and justice its logo is said to represent. First-hand knowledge allows me to say that family members of wealthy physicians have their hospital bills written off, while the poor and retired on fixed incomes are harassed to pay every penny of their treatment. So those who can afford to pay don't have to, and those who can afford to pay must pay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the U.S. Department of Health, because back in 2003, the U.S. Department of Health, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, let's get the entire title in there. Well, they conducted and released a study that they published on the findings on healthcare preventions, and it was titled Prevention Makes Common Sense, and they spelled sense, C-E-N-T-S. Oh, yeah, you always want to follow the money, right? Okay, so the report covered the obesity epidemic statistics in the United States and the diseases it can lead to, about 28 major diseases. It also covered the mortality rates. Apparently, obesity shortens lifespan by 20 years. And also about how much obesity costs the government, about $69 to $117 billion a year. They even concluded that fat people, I'm not being nasty here, but this is them, They concluded that fat people have a lower net worth. The overall message is overweight people cost the government more and are worth less as a commodity. Smokers in the report faced similar assessments. Hmm. Well, you know, it's about lifestyle crackdown, you know. So based on these government reports, the national plan was to motivate people to be healthier and to get into shape. So the way the government has gone about creating a national lifestyle change is to further legislate businesses with disease prevention plans. So research and public policies, you know, had basically they've been pouring that into corporate America with very little improvement on health overall. And why? Well, lifestyle is not to be treated like a dress code. Lifestyle is an expression of someone's life. It is social, it's personal, it's emotional, and even religious. So financial incentives and job evaluations can't be expected to have long-term conversion rates on health or lifestyle. So if that were the case, you know, the celebrities on those high-profile diet plans would never need to diet again. You know, get large sums of cash and fame. That would cure their lifestyle problems, right? Right. So what's missing? Well, the government-run studies on how to improve the health of America does not address the seriously important sources of poor health in the United States, which, you know, could be summed up as toxic pharmaceutical products like your drugs and vaccines and toxic chemicals in agriculture like your GMOs. Now, for example, company employees, they're put in the gym each day during the week. They're counting calories. They're eating diet foods containing ingredients that make them gain weight and encourage diabetes. The lack of progress and stress from the boss can bring on depression. So employees are sent to the doctor, and they get a prescription antidepressant, which can cause another disease like insomnia and, again, obesity. So around and around we go on the hamster wheel of advanced, sophisticated healthcare run by the government. After all this time, this money and frustration, the elite in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services concluded that human health is rooted in attitude and behavioral choices. Yeah, people have to want to change their lifestyle, and trying to make people change their actions would only work in a prison setting where people have no choices. So the government is a huge contradiction with public and private policies to try to gently encourage positive lifestyle behaviors while they're stating over here that health stakes are so high that the goals must be met. So the government cannot afford the diseases they rubber stamp corporations to push on people. That makes no sense at all. But then again, we're talking about the government, right? So the scary part is that when people comply, they get vaccinated, they take their antibiotics, they eat the GMO foods, and then they get sick. The government informs them that chronic diseases threatens the nation's physical and financial well-being. How dare you? See? That is the essence of insanity, folks. It really is. Oh, and I got to tell you what I got in the mail. I'm looking at it right now. It says, create a healthier you on the cover. So, lo and behold, I opened my mailbox and I received this brochure in the mail from, guess who? Carolina's healthcare system. And it's encouraging residents of North Carolina to make some small changes to their daily habits, which will make big differences in health. So there are pictures of fresh fruits on this thing. And get this, folks, herbs. I'm not kidding. There's fresh fruit and herb pictures on this brochure. And inside the brochure is soliciting folks to contact them and sign up for their wellness plan, complete with a free recipe booklet. Oh, and I almost forgot. There's a picture of a young female doctor asking folks to eat their fruits and vegetables to fight off disease. Isn't that rich? You know? After they inject us with diseases and poison, and they poison us with toxins, they want us to help us design a healthier diet. Mm-hmm. So what would an AMA doctor know about nutrition or herbs? I ask you. I guess the Affordable Care Act is cutting into the bottom line. I guess they're looking for some other ways to, come out of the red. Well, you know, it just confirms what I say. Modern medicine strains out a gnat and swallows a camel. You know, that's the philosophy of allopathic healthcare. Strain out a gnat, swallow a camel. Seriously, they are either stupid or insane, I think. So I think most people can figure it out, though. You guys are smart out there. You're intelligent people. You're savvy. You're proactive. And, you know, don't overdo the alcohol. Don't overdo the sugar. You know, eat more raw fruits and vegetables. You can use a little meat, like 4 ounces or less. Eat more complex carbohydrates along with, you know, some olive oil instead of the other processed oils and foods. And you'll stay a step ahead of disease. Yes, you will. If you want to avoid the drugs and the surgery, that's a given, right? And then for more protection, you might want to, you know, do some cleanses, you know, cleanse the toxins out of your organs maybe twice a year. That's a good idea. And do your immune boosting. Use herbs. That'll help you do those things. So if you're interested in doing that as extra insurance, natural insurance, healthy insurance against a problems to create a healthier you, as it were, call the experts in organ cleansing and immune boosting. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They've been doing this for almost 15 years. And they have a toll-free number. It's 866-229-3663. That's a toll-free number 24/7 in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. And also you can call, they do have an international number of 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. And the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And if you were trying to get on the website today for about an hour and a half, it was down. The web servers had some issues. Not sure what it is. I'm not very technical. Ask me anything about herbs, but you know, when it comes to all that technical stuff, it's like describing, you know, I don't know, an arsenal of guns and bullets. I have no idea. Don't know. Anyway. Well, I don't. I'm not real technical. I try. I'm getting better. So anyway, our apologies that the website was down for a little bit. All right. We got a few minutes before we have to take a break. So we're going to jump into this other thing on antibiotics. And the reason we're bringing this up is because it goes with the first segment we just talked about where, you know, the government's so concerned about obesity and the cost that it costs the nation. We just got to talk about this part, too. So there's lots of reports coming out, some of the lowdown on antibiotic use. Now, the BBC reported that the overuse of antibiotics over the last several generations has created the greatest threats to modern health. Of course, you know, the pathogen-resistant bugs now. Not only are the antibiotics losing their effectiveness, but there's no new drugs waiting to replace them. So we're on the last class of major antibiotics that they have available. So instead, pharmaceutical companies, you know, what are they doing? Well, they're researching antiviral drugs. Who cares about antibiotics? Now that we've helped create this superbug problem, they're kind of just dropping the ball and leaving everybody in the lurch there. They help create a threatening, life-threatening problem. And they're going to be accountable to somebody someday. You know they are. So anyway, they're on this trek of making antiviral drugs, probably going to do the same thing to viruses, make them super viral. So are modern medicine and are the drug cartels, are they leaving mankind holding the bag when it comes to, you know, all these drug-resistant pathogens? I would say it looks like they are. No amount of leaflet handouts to raise awareness to the inappropriate use of antibiotics is going to make a dent in helping patients to strengthen their weak immune systems now, unless they get smart. Unless they get smart and use some powerful herbs to do that. There's not going to be any pharmaceutical products that'll do that. So there aren't going to be any antibiotics or antiviral drugs that are going to assist your immune system, no way, no how. Okay? That's just not how those drugs work. So when the first antibiotics were born, medicine really didn't contemplate any serious threat of creating drug-resistant strains. Instead, in the 1940s, they celebrated that scientific medicine has defeated the death threat of bacterial infection. The arrogant minds remind me of the owner of the Titanic who said even God couldn't sink this ship. But scientific medicine admitted that they had no misconceptions about their golden antibiotics and allowed antibiotics to pollute even animal husbandry in our food chain. So mankind has consumed more antibiotics on a daily basis than the medical establishment is willing to admit. That's why we have a superbug problem. It's not because pediatricians overused them. It's because they were used in everything else, too. Now, here's the good part. Obesity. The obesity epidemic has really consumed government research now. It's a global problem. The Saturday Evening Post published an article on antibiotics called "The War on Bugs, Why We Really Need Germs." According to their medical research, Sharon Begley says people are becoming immune to antibiotics, and the antibiotic use has created microbiotic germones, which are resistant. So germones, they think, are determining who's more prone to a disease. So Begley states that antibiotic use has led, guess what, to the obesity epidemic because it's changing everybody's gut flora. So certain gut bacteria makes us feel full and prevents us from overeating. Apparently, research is pointing to these antibiotics by stripping away those friendly floras, and therefore everybody keeps eating. So the report links antibiotics to making changes to our system, making us more vulnerable to chronic diseases like asthma, sinusitis, autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, and of course, obesity. Wow. Thank you very much, modern medicine, for your sophisticated health care. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we don't appreciate you when we do get sick after we complied with your treatments, telling us that we're threatening the nation's life and health and finances. We don't appreciate that at all, do we? No, we don't. I don't know. I'm a little riled up about this. I might have to take a break because I got to calm down. But when we come back, we're going to cover some more. Don't you worry. We'll be right back.
life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
And Herb Talk. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about these antibiotics creating the obesity epidemic, according to some reports. Now, Congress knows a few things about this, and they've seen reports, the government reports on healthcare, and like the one I was just talking about from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So they're not blind to any of this. So, you know, basically when you're looking at healthcare, it's, you know, who do you trust, basically? Who do you believe in? Do you trust your medical doctor? Maybe you do. Maybe you trust his advice. But where is he getting his info? He's getting it from the government. He's getting it from pharmaceutical companies. He's getting it from the FDA. He's getting it from the companies that run the double-blind studies that kind of, you know, smooths over the numbers because they want to continue to do studies for the pharmaceutical groups. And anyway, so it's bad. It's really bad. So your poor doctors don't even know what information they can trust to tell their patients about certain things. Now, there was a survey in 2009 that was published on prescriptions, how many prescriptions people are on by how old they are. Okay. So, let's see, it started with the age group 5 to 17. Apparently, 2.2 prescription drugs if you're in that age bracket between 5 and 17. Now, if you're between 18 and 44 years of age, you're probably on 2.9 prescription medications. If you're over 45 but under 65, you're probably on 4.7 prescription drugs, almost 5 bottles on your counter there. If you're over 65, but you're as young as 74, you're probably on 6.3 prescription drugs. And then if you're over 75 to 84 years of age, you're on 6.7 drugs. So this is why, you know, the federal government says herbs are dangerous because they're going to interfere with your drugs. Right. Right. Kaiser Health Foundation did their own analysis on how many drugs retired folks are taking. And they came up with a report in 2009, and they say people between the age of 4 to 17 are on 4 drugs. If you're 19 to 64, you're on 11 drugs a year. Wow. So it's just more medicines. Got to sell you more drugs. Over-the-counter stuff is not included in that. They're talking about prescribed meds. So you add some over-the-counter prescription. Over-the-counter products sold $17 billion in 2010, and that didn't include Walmart sales. So what drugs are over-the-counter? Well, the major ones, of course, that people are taking that aren't over-the-counter are, you know, your blood pressure drugs, cholesterol drugs, migraine headache drugs, asthma drugs. Those are the big ones. And so these drugs are more accessible and less expensive, reducing the medical costs so they can sell it to more people. Now, the number of deaths that these drugs cause while under the care of a doctor is pretty huge. So the mortality rate, you know, once they take them out of the prescription patented area, it becomes over the counter, the mortality rate's going to, boom, go up there. Boom, going to be up there. So basically, it's no guessing game at this point that the American public's a big guinea pig. You know that. Definitely. According to Consumer Healthcare Products Association, 92% of Americans think over-the-counter medicine is safe and effective. 92%? Oh, we got work to do. According to Dr. Mercola, drug overdoses have gone up fivefold since the 90s. Average American has taken 4 prescription meds and probably several over-the-counter medicines to boot. So you can see the risky area there. Now, drug labels don't always contain all the safety information consumers need. So the safety information on a vast array of your drugs available is kind of impossible to keep current and provide it to consumers. And that's probably why we have maybe all those deaths, over 100,000 people dying on these drugs. So check it out. A lot of times you can find a list of the full side effects on drugs and counter regulatory information on the internet. Just type in the name of the drug and side effect. Or, you know, pick up a physician's desk reference and check out what the pharmaceutical company lists there. You want to be aware that certain drugs, over-the-counter products, don't mix well with herbs and vitamins. They don't. herbs sometimes block the absorption. So do vitamins of certain medications. So you want to be careful there and do your homework as best you can. So if you're, we try counter-regulatories, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, we try to do that on the powerherbs.com, and we try to update that as often as we can. All right, I'm moving along. Next thing is this interesting medical symbol. A lot of people, you know, don't know the history behind the medical symbol that's just about on every medical building, hospital, pharmacy. So history teaches us a lot of things. So we're going to take a little look at the medical symbol, you know, the rod with the snakes on it, right? So the rod of Asclepius, that's what it is in history. It's Greek. Ancient symbol. It's a Greek symbol. And people that study Greek astrology would even recognize it. So the American Medical Association symbol is a rod that's entwined with a snake, with one or sometimes two snakes. And it's been used as a medical symbol in health since the 5th century B.C. Okay, so according to legends, Asclepius was the son of Apollo. I hope I'm saying his name right. Okay, so he was supposed to be the son of Apollo and a medical doctor in Greek mythology. So the term pharmakon or drug was interpreted in the ancient Greek as poison. So the serpent on the staff would be reflective of this meaning, you know, beware, toxic. So don't forget that, you know, vaccines and antidotes are made from the very compounds that cause poisoning. So you got to be careful. So another Greek symbol that's linked to your medical symbol is the winged staff entwined with two snakes called the caduceus. Excuse me, I got to take a sip of water here. And this symbol, the caduceus is how you say it. The symbol was said to be from Hermes in Greek mythology, also known as the herald's wand, and Mercury in Roman mythology. So it was a symbol. It was a symbol to guide the dead in the underworld, and was to protect merchants, gamblers, and liars and thieves. So it was often a symbol associated with alchemy and pharmacy, which pharmacy is from the term pharmakia, which means witchcraft. Okay, so you may recognize the insignia if you look at the U.S. Medical Corps. It has that same double-winged staff with a snake on it. Now, approximately 62% of U.S. healthcare professionals use the rod of Asclepius, and 76% of commercial healthcare organizations use the other symbol of Caduceus. So the German Democratic Republic, the Customs Staff Office have issued medals that bear the caduceus symbol. They also would have health professionals or health associations. They also adopted the symbol or logo depicting their occupation as one that is associated with thieves, deception, and even death, because that's where it comes from. So do you think that's an appropriate logo for a healthcare system or a healthcare provider? Well, according to Stuart Tyson, he said the medical emblem would seem more appropriate on a hearse than on a physician's door. Well, let's look at some ancient treatments real quick, because there are some accounts that state that the staff was a medical instrument. Now, parasites that are beneath the skin are extracted when the parasite would emerge in the opening of a wound if the wound was soaked in cool water. So the parasite or the worm would appear, pop out of the wound, so it could lay eggs. And then the physician would wrap the worm around the staff and pull it out without breaking the worm's body. Yuck. So snakes and staffs have been emblems shrouded in antiquity for centuries. So in the cult of Asclepius, there were healing shrines where serpents were used in healing rituals. Patients would partake of in sleep. They would sleep in the shrine. Priests would move through the aisles of sleeping patients, hold snakes in their hand, and they would come real close to the sick patient, and they would allow the snakes to lick the wounds and lesions of the sick for healing purposes. Nice. So the dreams of the patients were supposed to be then interpreted after that, and then a diagnostic treatment would be given to them. Wow. Our medical profession came from that? Seriously? All right. Well, let's look at some more symbols. Snakes and religion go way back, as well as the projected mystery of magical powers. Snakes were also thought to have a symbol of Mother Earth and eternity. So the staff is a symbol of healing. So why wouldn't the medical association want to be associated with, both healing and power? Well, the ancient Egyptians and cultures of the Mesopotamia, they had this love affair with snakes and healing modalities. So the double snake emblem was found on a liberation cup of King Gudea, 2000 BC, and was thought to be a symbol of fertility and sexuality, and did not depict healing suggestions at all, as the caduceus symbol was thought to originally be from the healing arts. So it may not even be from the healing arts, the medical symbol. It may be from, an orgy. I don't know. In the Middle Ages, the symbol became associated with alchemy, pharmacy, pharmakia, and quicksilver mercury treatments. Now, this was scientific medicine of the day. This was modern advanced science medicine of the day. So, they had alchemy, which is using, metals and all crystals and all kinds of witchcraft to pray over people. And this scientific medicine of the day, kind of springboards into the 5th century, and then they incorporate astrology, magic, and more philosophy. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think alchemy using metals like mercury and silver and all these things, do you think they use that today? Well, if you ask your doctor, he'd laugh at you and say, there's alchemy's not practiced today. He would be misinformed. Actually, his profession practices that on a daily basis. All you have to do is walk into a dentist's office. And what do they put in your fillings? All you have to do is ask if there's mercury in that vaccine they're pumping into your baby's arm. Yeah, that's alchemy, folks. That's witchcraft. But they're telling you it's a preservative. It's to purify the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So in the 16th century, the double snake emblem became the medico-pharmaceutical emblem. In 1556, John Caius, president of the Royal College of Physicians, presented the symbol to the college, and John Forbin, in the 16th century, he published the first emblem that was going to be consistently used in the medical publications. So in 1856, that wand with the two snakes on it became the emblem for the U.S. Navy Medical Services. There was also the discovery of occultist stamps found in London, believed to date back to the Roman Empire, and was considered the original ophthalmology medicine dealing with eye care, and it was a symbol. So the U.S. and Germany are not the only modern countries to use the staff with the snake symbol. the South African Medical Association, the South African Health Professions Council, and the World Health Organization have all adopted the rod of Asclepius and its emblem with the snakes. Now, three of the seven health science facilities in South Africa have the caddis symbol, which is the staff and the snakes on it. So a staff with one snake or a staff with two snakes, you pick. You know, so the symbols, they represent something, don't they? Right? Our flag represents something. Your wedding ring represents something. These symbols, they represent something. So they do represent something, don't they? So did scientific medical, did the medical establishment erroneously adopt a symbol shrouded in witchcraft and really nasty things? Was that intentional? I'm going to leave it up to you to decide that. But it's just creepy to think about it. So medical professionals may have, I don't know, some skeletons in their closet there. However, you know, if I were you and you got bit by a snake, I wouldn't be going to a sorcerer. I'd be using some powerful herbs to pull the venom back out, just like the Indians did. Yeah. There's powerful herbs that can neutralize venom. You know, so if you're ever in a situation where you can't get to a medical facility and you wanted to get some anti-venom vaccine, well, then what you going to do? Well, if I were you, I'd learn about some herbs, because that day may be here sooner than we all like to think. So if you're interested, there is a snake bite kit on the powerherbs.com website for pets and adults, humans, a two-legged variety. Yes, yes. So you can check that out and be amazed what you can do with some simple herbs. That's right. And they're not that expensive, and the shelf life's 10 years, so you can, you know, put it away for that rainy day and have and be prepared, you know, for whatever comes down the road there. But I just think that medical symbol thing is kind of interesting, and I thought I'd share that with you. All right, so we got a few seconds. So I want to talk about some organs, some chief organs of the body. How valuable do you think your organs are? Have you thought about that? Well, the medical establishment has. So the chief organs of the body, which are replaceable, are kidneys, liver, heart, lungs, and your pancreas. So every year, there's like 50,000 people that tend to get organ transplants. Now, statistics say that 19,000 new livers are needed because of liver disease every year. And men take up two-thirds of the requirement for that new liver organ. So this means there are 45 people a day, or one person per hour, that's told that their liver disease is so bad, they're going to need to be put on some really strong drugs and on a waiting list for a transplant. Now, kidney disease is the eighth leading cause of death, and there's about 35,000 dying each year from that, and they're waiting for organ transplants. Well, let's talk about these transplanting organs for a minute, because transplanting organs is as risky as skydiving without checking your parachute first. So one major challenge is that there are not enough organ donors, and if you do not get an organ, the rejection of that donated organ is pretty high. So immune suppressant drugs are part of the game, and you have to take them the rest of your life if you have an organ transplant, because your own immune system would destroy that organ, because it doesn't look like you. It doesn't have the same makeup. So organ transplants are kind of a big deal, and you'd be asking, who leads in the organ transplants? Well, that depends if you're looking at the frequency of an organ being replaced or the cost of the procedure. So as far as the frequency of an organ transplant procedures, they're going to be in this order: kidney, heart, lung, pancreas, and liver. As far as cost, a kidney transplant will cost you $250,000, your pancreas $300,000, a lung $400,000, a new liver $520,000. Of course, your heart is a king of the transplants. That's $650,000. So just think about how expensive it would be if your organs were not donated. Ah, right. So what happens if the organs become so diseased that they fail and they need replacement? Well, they are your filtering organs, and they have to be. They can get clogged up with waste materials, and they can't filter impurities from the body. So let's focus on, let's say, the liver and the kidneys and your skin, because these organs are usually the first. They're going to tell you there's something's wrong. The first sign is going to show up in your skin. It's going to say that something is amiss. Let's talk about the liver quickly. The liver is an organ that does not function properly. It's going to retain a lot of bile in the system, and this affects your digestion. If you have poor digestion, it almost always is going to show up in the skin. You may get some acne. You may get some discoloration. Your skin may turn a bit yellow. Your eyes may turn a bit yellow. So taking all that proactive for your topical applications for, let's say, acne, not going to do a whole lot of good. Now, your kidneys, if your kidneys fail, if they can't secrete properly, and they can't clean and filter properly, the toxins will bog down this organ so bad the impurities will remain in the blood, so your blood will become toxic, okay? And then it could really show up everywhere in your skin, doing all kinds of things. Now, if I were worried about anything like this, I would definitely have some herbs on hand. I like to cleanse on a regular basis the chief organs, because this is your major toxin removal, and we got lots of toxins in our lifestyle these days. So you want to keep that toxic stuff free-flowing out of the system. So I like to use things like juniper berries to help flush the kidneys. The oil in the berries, they kill the little microbes that shouldn't be there. And also juniper is a blood purifier of sorts. Now, I also like to use milk thistle for the liver. The silymarin in it is an antioxidant, so it helps the liver regenerate its cells quickly. And I also like, if you tend to have kidneys, though, that are kind of weak or irritated, you want to skip the juniper berries, because it can kind of make them weaker. So you want to use what they call Russian penicillin and use some garlic. Now, if there's pus in the kidneys, you want to use garlic with a little marshmallow root and some parsley and maybe some corn silk and lobelia. These will help the fine filters of the kidneys purge those toxins, release those burdensome toxins without irritating the kidneys further. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs have some kidney cleanse products, one with and one without juniper, depending on how frail your kidneys are. Of course, they do have the milk thistle, and they do have juniper berry. They also have a wonderful blood cleanse formula, but you know what? If you want to cleanse the blood, it'll be the last cleanse you do every year or twice a year. Now, if you go to the powerherbs.com website and you click on healthy guidelines, you will see the proper steps on how to do your cleanses in the proper order for your safety and success. So you want to cleanse in the opposite way the body filters the toxins, so you have that free flow out of the body. I repeat myself a lot on these things because some people just don't know or don't remember that I said that. So, you know, keep your body clean, cleanse and nourish, folks. Get that diet going. Fresh fruits and vegetables, lots of herbs. You don't need a doctor to tell you that. I'm out of time. But go to thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And I wish you all a great Memorial Day. Be well.